on the free Civic Media app. 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids. Your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight, upper 50s. High tomorrow in the low 70s. Partly sunny Sunday, maybe a stray shower, high mid-70s. Drier and pleasant weather into much of next week. Currently at 75 degrees.
Afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to Playmakers. Let's get it going. Not a second to waste. Hope you all are having a great afternoon out there. You got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by your PD around these parts, Seth.
Hello, everyone.
Hope you guys are having a great one. We're going to get into some fun this afternoon. We got, of course, the phone line's wide open, 715-424-2600. Hit us in the numbers. We're wide open, like every wide receiver ever.
Right. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Maybe
former wide receiver, maybe. But it's true. We always are open.
Yeah, right.
Get us the ball and hit us up, everybody, 715-424-2600. Just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. We apologize not being here Wednesday, but we are here to make up for that and to have some fun. Hopefully, Michael Comer will be able to call in and join us a little bit, and I can get a little bit of a touch on the Abbotsford Assumption game that is going to be coming up at 6:50. Mm-hmm. We're your tailgate for that, everybody.
Yep.
But we want to talk, certainly want to talk a little bit of baseball with you, Seth. We've got some good stuff there. Get into a little bit of the NFL, talking about some of that. If we have an opportunity, I would love to talk about the college football schedule, too, since we didn't really get to do it on Wednesday. Plenty to talk about.
Lots to cram into this hour, yeah.
But I do have to start off with, this happens to fans of sports, where you fall in love with an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
You fall in love with a certain thing about this person or this character. You get their jersey. You follow their career. All of this. It's one of my favorite parts of sports, especially when you find a guy like in college and you follow them through college. They go to the pros and you follow them throughout the career there.
Sure.
It does not happen very often to me. I find as I'm getting older, I'm not as taken by these guys as much as I used to or whatever.
So jaded in your old age, right?
I think that, and honestly, I don't have the time like I used to.
To be fair.
There was a point from many of us where we could name you every player on our favorite team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And our opposing team, and actually all the teams in the division, and then the managers and all these things. And as we get older, we don't get as many of these guys. But I just happened to come across, and I want to thank Buster Olney for this, because he was talking about teams on PTI to keep an eye on in the Major League Baseball team. Mm-hmm. And immediately he says Toronto. Mm-hmm. And I had to think about it. I was in Toronto. Oh. You know, I think of Vlad right away, Bichette, some of these guys. But that starting rotation is pretty darn strong, especially with the adding of Shane Bieber, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
So, and especially, I think you have to remember, too, in baseball, that the first rounds here are different. You only need three starters.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really need a whole
four
starter.
Yeah, that's right.
So, he mentions all their starters, and then he goes, and then there's this kid, Treya Savage.
Mm-hmm.
And they show a clip of him throwing. And immediately, I was like, this kid. I could not tell you the last time, probably when Ricky Henderson played for Toronto. That was probably the last time. I don't have anything against Toronto.
Right.
Shout out to John Olerud's helmet.
Yeah, right.
many of the things that are famous to me when I think of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Right.
Joe Carter and that wonderful smile.
Well, yep.
That big homer. Who am I thinking of? The pitcher who had an outstanding World Series, too, for them. I want to say somebody in that same series had a really good one. But they've had some really nice pitchers over the years, including currently.
Right.
But if you have not seen Treya Savage throw, everybody, I cannot encourage you enough to check it out. And I'm not saying this is something revolutionary or anything like that.
Right.
It, to me, is a throwback. It is. I feel like nowadays, everybody is a pitcher. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of money in that, and there's a lot of career in it. But I miss hurlers. I miss guys that just whoop the ball, man. That just—they look like they were throwing not only their shoulder out, but their willpower.
Yeah.
Like every bit of like
they're gonna will the ball over the plate, right?
Yeah. Yes. Like, I love these kind of pitchers. And if you get a chance to see Treya Savage's throw, it's just simple. He just winds back and whoops this thing over.
Overhand, and it's a true overhand too. He comes over the top. Which, I mean, if I just you're just showing me the, you know, the clip there of him throwing the ball again, and it's not only that, he gets so much leverage from that.
Yes.
You know, it looks like the ball is literally going downhill, and he's got a really wicked curveball, big overhand curve kind of thing. That, which in and of itself is a throwback, because not a lot of guys have that big curveball anymore. They have, you know, sliders and sweepers and all these other things. But I mean, I'm one of my favorite things in baseball is Uncle Charlie, man. If you throw that big curveball that just has that dead straight down break, I love that pitch. It's the old Burt Blyleven curveball.
Burt Blyleven. Yep. That's one of the names I was trying to think of, too. Because there's a couple of people that he reminds me of with this. Mm-hmm. And that's one of them, for sure.
For sure.
The 22, Pottstown, Pennsylvania's own.
Oh, wow. Yeah, look at that. Pennsylvania boy.
I'm going to follow with this kid. I don't know how good he's going to be or anything like that, but I'm excited about
it. He is a top prospect, so we might be seeing him for a while.
The Brewers have clinched the playoff spot. Mm-hmm. Christian Yelich has hit the century mark for RBIs, for ribbies.
Nice.
Just an incredible turnaround for him in the last couple of seasons and what he's been able to do. Brewers got a very interesting situation going on in the outfield, I think, with him and some of these guys that they got. Mm-hmm. A good problem to have.
A nice problem to have, right.
I think you could see Yelich playing DH. A bit with this team.
Yeah, he's a good fielder, but you have some like really stellar fielder. I mean, Sal Frelick, he's amazing, and you got some of these other guys. So you're right, though. It's an embarrassment of riches. It really is, because I mean, you need Yelich's bat. That's the big thing. But I mean, yeah, if you can find a spot for, you know, for these other guys that are really quick, young, and are very good fielders, you need to. I mean, if anything, really, you need in October. You need defense, man.
Yep.
You cannot make mistakes.
Yep.
You need to have the best fielding that you can.
If you asked a manager, hey, you can give up home runs or defense, every one of them is going to tell you home runs.
Yeah, we'll take the defense every day of the week. Yeah,
yeah. To me, it's what I've been hitting on since July with this team. Because I went back and I was listening to some stuff and everything. I know former episodes and stuff. And it's been since late June, early July, when they went on a run and they went on a tear after that kind of rough beginning for Milwaukee.
That's right.
And I was saying it then, and I will continue to say it until they are done. Their season is done. The things that they are doing are not gimmicky. They're not something that is streaky. Oh, a couple of guys are on a tear at home, hitting home runs or something like that. They are doing this with smart base running, with speed, and defense. And I will say, in part of that, pitching. Pitching to me is a part of defense.
It is.
It's not exactly, and certainly they're two different categories.
Right.
But when I'm talking about defense, I'm thinking of pitching as well, just for myself.
Right.
And I am completely doing this because of the 05 White Sox. It is 1,000% that. Not to say that you can't point to 100 other examples in Major League Baseball history of teams having a great playoff run or winning a World Series with this model. But the thing that this team, I feel like, has that my White Sox didn't, that I think the Nationals of a couple seasons ago didn't have necessarily, like the Nationals had a young Soto. The Nationals had one or two guys. Well, the big guy, Marsh, or whatever, with all the hair and stuff.
Brandon Marsh, yeah.
A couple of guys with home run capability.
Right.
This Milwaukee team, you're getting to the eighth batter and worrying that he can put one out.
Right.
They're got a sneaky home run team.
Yep.
They've got a sneaky team that can really, and especially if these guys are getting healthy and getting hot, there is,
and playing at home, they have a huge advantage at AmFam Field.
I don't expect Brewer fans to be talking the way I am. I imagine that there is a bit of a worry. Don't want to get too excited kind of feeling and everything.
Yeah.
I don't blame them for that. We're going to do that for you. Because Seth and I, our teams, we're living vicariously through you right now.
We got nothing right now.
nothing. There's a kid for the Sox up for maybe rookie of the year. They were saying he's like next seven down. And I don't even know if Meredith, and I don't even know if he has the at-bats. I'm not even sure
he may not qualify. Yeah,
like that's it, everybody. That's all I got.
That's what you're looking forward to.
That and I think we still have the best color scheme. Like that's it. That's it. That's all we got. Black and white. Real creative. when it comes to the playoffs, we'll get more into that in a second, though. But I do want to touch on something since you did bring up your Twins, Seth, and the Minnesota Twins. We've been covering a number of different reasons, of course, with them being a local team, and they were up for sale Yale for a while, and then kind of just out of nowhere, it felt like that sale got pulled off of
taken off the market. Yep.
Yeah,
they were
not
taken
on
off
Willow
the
anymore. You're not going to find them on eBay anymore. That was a little shocking, but I think there was a bit of you could speak to this. You're a Twin fan. Mm-hmm. I don't want to speak for you, but it seemed like there was a little bit of a relief in the fan base about that to a degree. But there was a hesitancy.
Yeah, because I think what a lot of people were looking forward to. It's because we've seen what's happened the last couple of years. As soon as the TV deal evaporated, the Pollad family really tightened the purse strings. There's no question about it. They really put a stop on spending because of whatever. You know, they didn't think they were getting the revenue because they wouldn't be getting as much revenue from the TV deal because they didn't really have a TV deal at that point. And so when they put them up for sale, I think a lot of fans were actually kind of hopeful that they would get, you know, one of these guys, billionaires, that's willing, mm-hmm. you know, who wants to be in the game, you know, maybe Steve Cohen kind of guy, you know, maybe something like that, you know, maybe not as crazy as Steve Cohen can be sometimes, but, you know, someone who's willing to spend money and who's willing to put a team on the field. And, you know, there was a couple of buyers here and there kind of thing. I don't think anyone was really worried about them leaving the Twin Cities. They got a great park, you know, a great fan base, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then when they took the team off of the market, I think there were some people who were relieved. It's like, oh, because we don't know what you're going to get to, you know, with a new ownership. You don't know what they're going to be like. Mm-hmm. At least we know, you know, the devil you know, right?
Right.
But I think a lot of people were concerned. It's like, well, they are the ones that have not been putting any money into the team. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so we just heard today, or I just got was reported today, the Twins have fired their entire scouting staff except for one guy. Now that's, you know, it was six. Now it's one.
Yeah.
And now that's so now the you know, the reasoning is from a lot of corners we hear, well, yeah, and that's the way game is now. Everything is recorded and now you have analytics on everything. You can find out all the stuff you need by looking at the tape, basically.
They are saying this is a league-wide trend to a degree.
It is, to a degree. But still, going from six to one. And it was
that's crazy.
It was inferred in the press release that it was a cost-saving measure.
Hmm.
Now, what does that mean? Okay, teams are always looking ways to cut corners, save money, that kind of thing. It's so drastic, though, I think it can't help but be tied into something we keep coming back to, is the possible work stoppage after the season next year. And I think everyone is starting to hunker down. And you're going to start seeing more stuff like this, I think. Small things maybe here and there, that sort of thing. The big thing I'm interested in is how free agency goes down after the season is done.
Mm-hmm.
What contracts are they giving out? What things are attached to it, mm-hmm. kind of thing. I am very curious to see what goes down with that.
With the
it's
Twins
tell you a lot.
Situation, Wesley Wright is the one lone scout left. That the Twins are going to be hanging on to.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting a wrap on that, but that ties into, and we're going to be keeping an eye on that story. And,
mm-hmm.
and thus, certainly we understand what state we're in talking about this, mm-hmm. but whether we're talking about your Twins, my Sox, Michael's Cardinals, any of these things, or the Brewers,
mm-hmm.
all or the Detroit Red Wings. I'm in a hockey mode.
You're in hockey mode. The Tigers.
Or any of these teams. Keep in mind, this could be the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
This easily could be them.
It could be Cleveland. It could be, yep, many of those teams.
All these teams have this in common, and it's important to see how the other teams could be the bellwether of how your team is going to be affected.
Exactly.
I think it's important to follow this stuff that's mm-hmm. going on, especially with what you said right there, because you saw right where I was going to go with mm-hmm. this and bringing this up. And you've been talking about this. I looked back at it, Seth, and it's been well over a year that you've been touching on this story, and mm-hmm. you were the first one that I heard to bring this up as far as the possible of a stoppage.
Yep.
Well, it's you want to talk about bellwethers and telltale signs that things are coming when you see certain reporters covering topics.
Yes.
And especially with the Mouse Network, because I, like many of you out there, take in ESPN. Mm-hmm. I have not boycotted ESPN or anything like that.
Right.
I have no higher standard than anybody else. I'm not better than anyone when it comes to this.
Sure.
But I really do try to limit my programming from them.
Mm-hmm.
And in part because of the reporting. It's not even some moral stance I'm taking. It's more about, well, I don't buy it anymore.
Right.
I know who's in their pocket. Mm-hmm. I know that they're not going to touch on certain topics.
That's right.
Because they've got corporate connections and all these things. And you got the mouse running everything now and stuff. So they're worried about, you know, money.
Mm-hmm.
and that's what this all comes. So the reporting isn't that great. Fox is an even bigger joke.
Yeah, right.
Like outside of like Nick Wright, I don't know what anybody's watching on the Fox network.
Seriously,
outside of that, and it comes down to one thing that I think that is cool that they could not have planned and could not have seen coming. I do think local sports radio shows mean that much more now, and that's not me trying to put us up there. We're a very young show,
right? We're only on an hour, a couple hours a week kind of thing. Yeah.
There's a lot of mainstays in this, in just looking at Wisconsin alone,
right,
that people are, I imagine, are going to even more now. Because of these other reasons.
Right.
Now, I will tell you to keep in mind, some of these people are quite straight up lying to you. They are not fans of your teams. They just work in this state.
Right.
It's good
business, right?
Yeah. Hey, we're honest at least.
Yeah.
At least we're honest about that stuff. And when it comes to also some of those people have other intentions and that have nothing to do with you and have people in their pocket themselves.
Right.
So I encourage you to look into those things. There's quite a few of them that you would be surprised that, are not in it for the kids, are not in it for the right reasons.
Sure.
I think you know who I'm talking about when it comes to that. And I don't need to go farther than that, because there's plenty of people that can fill in the blanks on that stuff. When it comes to this stoppage, you have Jeff Passan reporting on it now. And that's one of the names, especially in baseball, that if he's covering something, it's not only a big, you can almost guarantee this is going to happen.
Right.
If you gave me the top four number one seeds in all of baseball, and you said one of them's going to win a world, you get one of them's going to win a World Series, and you'll win $1,000, or $1,000 that there's going to be a stoppage, I'm taking the stoppage.
Yeah.
I feel I am on that plane right now. And now you are set to say, what happens then? There is a stoppage. Right. There, for you and I, and many generations out there, this is nothing new. We're numb to this now.
Yep.
That's where we've gotten with these stoppages in baseball, to where we're numb to it.
Right.
But the younger generations are not.
They have not experienced that. No, they have not.
Baseball's been lucky to hang on to them.
Right.
So what happens then, and what happens to their viewership? Because it's not as if they're going to stop watching things.
Right.
Now, I think if you're 30, 40 years old, and you've been a baseball fan your whole life, you're going to start following, maybe you're going to start following the rafters more. Mm-hmm. Maybe the banana team.
You're fine. I think everyone understands what you're saying.
Savannah Bananas or something like that.
Right.
Maybe you start doing that. Maybe you start following your high school teams more or something,
right,
or college baseball.
How about the new women's baseball league that's starting next year?
I'm telling you,
boon for them,
yeah,
right?
Got Monique Davis in that stuff, man. Yeah. I want to see Monique again. So there are. It isn't as if it's MLB or nothing.
No,
this ain't
not
the
at
old
all.
Days.
Yeah, that's right.
So many people in baseball, we're seeing this a lot in the business sector and 100% in politics. There are a lot of people that are of a certain age and up that think that it's still that time. And are acting like it is.
Yeah.
And they do not seem to realize that time moves forward.
That's right.
This is nothing against past generations.
No, this is not me
pointing fingers or anything. What is what is, and we're not here without the past generations.
Right.
But time only goes forward. Things evolve. Nothing stays the same. And the things that you romanticize, guess what? You're not remembering correctly. Because not a darn thing was perfect.
No.
But whether we're talking the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, or today.
It's always the same.
It is what it is.
Yep.
What's going to happen with that younger generation in baseball when this strike happens? And where do we go as fans? Because I just fell back in love with baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of all of this hanging over it, I can't get past it. I'm getting excited about the playoffs. I'm even a little excited about who's free agents this year. I wanted to look it up this morning. I stopped because I was like, well, does it matter?
Does it matter? We don't know.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? That's right.
It's a wild kind of place to be in, because the last time I remember a strike, it felt like it came out of nowhere as a fan, because we didn't have 24/7 news cycles.
No, we didn't.
We didn't have a million reporters on these things.
No.
So for a lot of us that, weren't able to keep up to date every 5 seconds on baseball, it's like, wait, a strike?
Right.
Why are they doing that? And I want to say one thing real quick, and I welcome conversation. That's something we really appreciate around here.
Right.
I will tell you right now where I stand on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I not only stand with the players, but I will always stand with the players.
Mm-hmm.
They will have to do something quite major for me not to. Do I think the players are always right? My God, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear God, no. No, I don't know if they know what they're doing half the time.
Right.
But if you're going to ask me to choose between a group of people that are making thousands and millions compared to billionaires,
right,
there's no question that I know where this is going. Mm-hmm. Name me the ownership that cares more about fans and players than money.
You can't find it because it's not a thing. Yeah.
715-424-2600. Please tell me how that they're never going to choose us over money.
No.
They're never going to. Yeah. And when it comes to a salary cap, while I agree with the salary cap, I think baseball would be better suited with one. Mm-hmm. I genuinely do. They miss me. They lose me on it because the messenger. It's all about the messenger in this one. If the players were coming forward with a salary cap, I would be all in on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the owners doing it,
right.
I know that it is coming from nefarious reasons.
Right.
I know that it is about them. The salary cap is not about helping players or helping that the 15th guy on the bench mm-hmm. or anything like that. These are billionaires that can't help themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what it is.
This is about them.
Yep,
the salary cap is for them.
It's
again about them.
Right.
It's, oh, please stop me from being Steve Cohen. Please stop me from being, you know, these guys.
Right, exactly.
I'm not going to help you. No, I don't care if it's Brewster Millions for you every day. I don't care.
No.
Somebody have got that right.
No, that's actually good. Very good.
Does that count as a baseball movie? Because I wish it did.
If it has baseball in it, I don't know.
He does. He does have baseball in it.
I know, but I don't know. Can it be considered?
It's not.
That's up for debate, maybe.
No.
It's a quiz we can put out. Poll we can put out somewhere.
Yeah.
No, you're right. And honestly, if, like what you're saying, say the players did put together a proposal that did involve a salary cap, but says, hey, let's make the minimum salary a lot higher. You know, let's make it so more guys can you know, get mm-hmm. in on this, all this money that's in this sport. Because there's a lot of money in the sport, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we widen the base with it? Can we get more guys to get up, you know, to that kind of thing? You know, maybe that would be something. Now, I don't think the owners would accept it because then that's the players coming to them and that's a power thing. And they're like, no, because they have to have the power, right?
Yeah.
I think that makes it, besides, you know, what you're saying about trying to stop themselves from doing it, the other thing is that they don't have the power, and it drives them crazy.
Yes.
Because they can't tell the players what to do.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of people that, you know, lose a little bit of power and freak out.
Oh,
right
my
now.
Goodness.
We're seeing that in a lot of places right
yes.
now. That's a cowardly behavior.
Right.
You see it right away. You see it for what it is right
that's
away.
I think you get insulated by millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You lose touch.
We'll be covering this. We'll be keeping an eye on it, mm-hmm. see where it goes, and always welcome the conversation from everybody out there. I really, really do value that and really do look forward to mm-hmm. getting into this with our listeners as we go farther on.
Man, I'm rooting for the Brewers on this one. I want them to do it now.
Yep.
Now is the time to get it done right now.
Yeah.
I hope they can make it.
Especially with the unknown.
Yes.
A shout out to, again, Jeff Passan, great article there. Encourage you to check it out at the ESPN. Taking a look at MLB.com, they got a great section here about regular season, wild card, spring training as far as the records.
Mm-hmm.
Their wild card section is so cool the way this break. They
have
break
the breakdown?
Down.
Yeah, it's very nice.
I really enjoy this. Right now, the Cubs have locked in a playoff spot along with the Dodgers, Phillies, and of course, your Milwaukee Brewers out there.
Mm-hmm.
Padres and Mets still in the chase. It is going to be wild that only one of those teams is getting in. That is crazy to me.
In the next week, man, they are going to be playing every game like it's do or die. We're like in the playoffs already. For some teams, it's like they're in the playoffs already.
It's really exciting. And honestly, it would probably take up the majority of my attention if it wasn't for what Cleveland's doing. Because Cleveland, and again, MLB.com, great article there about this, about what we're seeing and how against all the odds, these Guardians are making a push.
How do they do it? Every year they seem to be able to do it.
You know, in some realms, it feels like it's got to be awfully rough to be a Cleveland fan.
Mm-hmm.
And on others, it's got to be awfully darn cool, I think. If you're a baseball fan, the Cleveland has been just one of those teams in my lifetime that have mm-hmm. always been a lot of fun and always competitive.
Right, exactly. I've never had, you know, it's funny. I've never had, you know, like there's been a rivalry, you know, back in the day, the Twins and the White Sox had a pretty bitter rivalry.
Yeah.
I never felt that way about the White Sox. You know,
mm-hmm.
I never felt that way about most of the teams in the AL Central because I kind of like all the teams in the AL Central.
Yeah, same.
It's more of a friendly thing. It's no like bitterness kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
I can't think of a team outside of the Cardinals. I'm hoping Michael's listening. That I've really ever had that kind of feeling about.
Right,
and that feeling is out of respect
mm-hmm.
because they're the boogeyman.
Yeah,
the Cardinals
they're the ones
are
always,
team
they're
that,
always doing it. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not a matter of so much. It's not like with Notre Dame for me. Like
right.
Notre Dame, that's just pure hate.
Yeah.
That's just just pure,
the joy of pure hate. Yes.
Sir, did you order some hate? Here you go. 100%. There you go. That's like literally the only team I can feel that about.
Yeah, right.
So you got that, the Cubs locked in, San Diego, New York. That is going to be exciting. And then, as I mentioned, in the AL, Toronto, Detroit, Houston, and Seattle have all guaranteed playoff spots. Ooh. Really excited to see Seattle in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I hope they can win the division, though. That would be really cool if they can do that.
In the AL, I'm very excited about Toronto, Detroit, and Seattle. I would love to see one of those teams carry on.
Yep.
Anybody but Houston. Honestly, anybody but
Houston. We don't want Houston again. We're tired of Houston.
Boston's still in there. And then, of course, yes, the Cleveland Guardians are just a game and a half out of the wild card. Right there, still fighting.
Watch them go. Watch them go, man.
Texas collapsed a little bit there, though. I didn't see that coming. I kind of thought they were going to keep moving.
Well, they made a run, but I didn't think they had enough to... They had not enough gas in that tank, I don't think, so...
One other thing that I wanted to get to under the baseball umbrella here was talking about a couple of fun stats and stories of the show, if you will, everybody, and stats of the show. Recently, we just heard this week that Clayton Kershaw is going to be retiring after this season.
Yep.
Whatever happens in the playoffs will be his final run.
Yep. That's good for him, man.
18 seasons, and everybody consensively agrees, yep. Hall of Famer.
Yep. He will be a Hall of Famer. He'll be first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubter.
But one thing that stands out about this is the fact that he is going in having played for only one team.
Mm.
This crew of players, 59 in all of Major League Baseball Hall of Fame history,
yep.
59 of them have only played for one team.
One team, yep.
I found that to be an amazing stat. Only 59. Just go ahead and throw a number out there of how many players are in baseball's Hall of Fame.
Right.
And only 59 of them.
Right.
That's incredible. Recently, Todd Helton for the Rockies and Joe Mauer for your Twins.
Yep.
Some of those names. Now, I do have an interesting list here, and we will not go through every team, but it is the team and the players who did that.
Right.
Like for Houston, Jeff Bagwell and Craig Biggio.
Right.
Players like that, Cardinals, Bob Gibson and Stan Musial.
Right.
These are the only players to do that for these teams.
Yes. Are in the Hall of Fame, I believe. Is that
right?
Right.
The Cubs, Cap Anson, we all remember his career.
he was 1800s. Yeah, Cap Anson was way back when.
And, of course, Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks. Mm-hmm. Now, I showed this to my dad, and my dad immediately is like, wait a minute, what about Rhino? What about Sandberg? Well, Sandberg actually had 6 plate appearances for the Phillies.
He did.
Yeah.
So it's not quite there. So close, but not quite.
Listen to the Dodgers, who are, of course, adding Clayton Kershaw, Roy Campanella, Don Drysdale, Sandy Koufax, Pee Wee Reese, and Jackie Robinson.
There's a list for you. That's an all-star team in and of itself.
Yeah. I mean, the Giants got some nice names, and even the Guardians with Feller and Bob Lemon and stuff. But
my favorite Italian baseball player, Roy Campanella.
Yeah, me too. Maybe. But when it comes to, like, that, nobody has the collection that the Dodgers do when it comes to this. Padres got Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn, yep.
Mm-hmm. The Pirates, even an old franchise like that, Clemente, Mazeroski, Stargell, and Pie Trainer. Mm.
Literally, he was a very good hitter.
P-I-E. That should have been your favorite player of all time. That should have been.
I like Pie Trainer. Yeah. I do. And he was a very good hitter in the 20s and the 30s. Yeah, he had a good career.
When it comes to the Reds, Johnny Bench, Barry Larkin, Bip McPhee.
That's a great name.
I just had to say the name Bip McPhee.
Yeah.
But also, as a side note, Joey Votto is eligible for this. He did sign with Toronto, but never played for them.
He did a minor league contract. So he never played for the big league team. So technically, that is true. He never played for another big league team.
Your Twins, Walter Johnson, Joe Mauer, Tony Oliva, and, of course, Kirby Puckett.
Yes.
Quite a nice list right there.
Yeah, not bad. Harmon Killebrew ended his career in Kansas City.
Mm.
Weird. Look, have you ever seen pictures of him? That's weird looking, man.
I kind of imagine. Yeah,
it was only like his last 2 seasons, but yeah.
White Sox, nobody cares, but Luke Appling, Red Faber, and Ted Lyons. Just the oldest names you've ever heard.
I think the most recent one, I think Luke Appling played in the 30s.
Yeah. It's so bad. The Yankees, Earl Combs, Bill Dickey, Joe DiMaggio, Whitey Ford, Lou Gehrig, Derek Jeter, Mickey Mantle, Mariano Rivera, Phil Rizzuto. My God.
Wow. Okay, the Yankees beat the Dodgers, I think, even.
I think so.
There's more Yankees there. Yeah,
I think so. And then, of course, what about the Brewers? Wanted to get to them on here.
Oh,
and
let's see. I know one. I believe Robin Yount is on that list.
Okay. All right. Does anybody want to call in with the others? Does anybody want to?
I got to think
or
now.
Is there any others?
Do they have any other Hall of Famers? Well, is no. Yount the only one?
Especially we got to get to commercial break, I suppose. But yes, Robin Yount is the only Milwaukee Brewer to be.
Okay. That
but
makes sense.
Should he be? Because I have an argument to make. I have an argument to make for one Henry Aaron.
Oh.
Hammer and Hank. Now, Hank, of course, started his career with the Milwaukee Braves.
Yes, he did.
The team moves. Not his fault.
No.
I don't believe that this
goes with him. Yeah,
Hank
right.
Hank didn't know somebody in Atlanta and got a good deal on a lot. Yeah. And, you know, everybody decided to move.
Sure.
So they moved to Atlanta, of course. Same franchise.
Right.
The Milwaukee Brewers are created.
Yep.
Hank ends his career with the Milwaukee Brewers. One final season with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Two.
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. Yes, seasons. Two final seasons. That only more proves my point.
There you go.
So, essentially, his whole career with an embodiment of this franchise. Of this state in many ways. Now, you will talk to a lot of old-time Brave fans, and by that I mean Milwaukee, Atlanta.
Right, exactly.
That never even followed the Milwaukee Brewers, that are continuing to follow the Braves because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And to that extent, and yes, I know I am making the stretch of all stretches.
Oh, boy, are you.
but I think that Hank Aaron should be considered one of these guys.
Oh, my gosh.
To diehards. I'm not saying Cooperstown. I don't expect Cooperstown to do it, but I think those of us diehard baseball, it's a little like, hey, who's the home run king? Hank Aaron.
Right.
You know, they don't say Barry Bonds.
Right.
That's the fan base I'm talking to,
boy,
I think.
You know,
I think I am.
I love the argument, man.
Even they may not be with me.
I love the argument, though. That is a fantastic argument because of the way it happened, that he can be grandfathered in somehow.
It's the reach of all
reaches. You're wrong, but it's a great argument, man. It's a great argument.
That's the only way to answer that. Yeah, you're 100% wrong, but I do like where you're going.
I like the argument. It's good.
It's like in scouting when you're watching and, oh, this guy's got a 40. This guy can bench this. This guy's reach is whatever. And then this guy, he's got a lot of heart. You know, the guy that they don't really have the greatest stats on, but, oh, he's got a lot of heart, that guy.
Those guys. We are called people who don't play in sports anymore.
That's what they're called. That's about it. We will take a quick time out. We will come back. I want to talk some football with you, Seth. We got a couple of things there to get into. And certainly get into our local schedule. Got some fun things going on there. All that coming up for you right here on Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at 105.5 WIRI.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. WAM Inc. for the hero in you.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers, and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Game on!
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is 105.5 WYRI.
Yeah, my whole life sounds like the radio. You've been trying to love her, but you leave your heart breaking. Oops, you want a man. I hope she never breaks.
WYRI. On your radio at 105.5 FM and wherever you are with the free Civic Media app. Download it now in the Google Play or App Store.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight, upper 50s. High tomorrow in the low 70s. Partly sunny Sunday, maybe a stray shower. High mid-70s. Drier and pleasant weather into much of next week. Currently at 75 degrees.
Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. Seth and James hanging out with you. Hang out with us, everybody. Give us a call, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. We'd love to hang out with you. Whatever you want to talk about sports-wise, we will get into it. I had one more story of the show involving baseball that I had to get to you, Seth.
Okay.
This was a stat that was brought to me by Tony Kornheiser. I want to thank him and PTI for this.
Right.
Because I thought I knew just about everything there was about Earl Weaver.
Oh, okay.
And Earl Weaver, to me, you know, I think of very similar to, the old school managers, the Lou Piniellas, Dusty Bakers, a lot of these guys that they knew as much about baseball as anybody, and they also knew how to upset a ref, or an umpire.
An umpire, right.
I have no doubt in my mind that these guys spent time in the ballpark learning, well, if I kick it this way, if I kick the dirt this way, it goes on the guy more. Hey, Joey, stand right there. I want to see if this works better. Like, they're baseball managers.
Yes.
You cannot convince me that they did not practice. I'm sure they didn't.
Right.
Because it would be a little bit, you would see it coming.
Yeah, right. You'd be like, what is he doing? Yes.
But of all the baseball managers and all the freakouts, outside of, and I do think that we should stop calling it ejections and call it either a Bobby or a Cox. Because out of respect, for Bobby Cox.
Bobby, who holds the record for most times ejected by a manager. That's correct.
Outside of renaming it or anything, I do think that we need to give respect to some of these guys. The Billy Martins, the ones that were a little bit above and beyond. And then there is Earl Weaver.
Right.
Who Earl Weaver, on three different occasions, was kicked out of a doubleheader of both games.
Yes.
Three times. October 15th, 1969. And he did it again on August 15th, 1975, as a famous incident where he was ejected by umpire Ron Luciano.
Luciano.
From both games, including before a pitch in the second game. Before the first pitch.
I was going to say, he was kicked out of a game before the game even started a couple of times in his career. By the way, Packer fans, Ron Luciano, former Green Bay Packer.
Yeah.
He played football in the NFL for like 4 years before he became an umpire. I don't know if you knew that.
Luciano also was the guy doing this to Weaver almost every time.
Yes.
Almost every time it was
They really butted heads quite a few times. They sure did.
I had never heard that before. I thought I heard everything about Earl Weaver. not just kicked out of a game, but kicked out of a doubleheader. It done it three times. It's back in 1985. He did it again.
Oh, man. Earl, you will nobody. You know, and I got to say, really, that the Bobby Cox thing, so yes, he's got the most ejections. Earl Weaver was the leader before that with like 97. Bobby had 100 and something. I can't remember that. But you have to remember, Earl Weaver managed like 1,000 fewer games than Bobby Cox did.
That's a great stat. That's
a great
part of it.
His percentage, unmatched by any manager. Unmatched.
Yeah. A couple of topics I want to talk about football-wise, and then we'll get into some local high school stuff. For those that didn't see, the memo came out, or it kind of like slipped out, that the NFL has said to the official committee that, hey, we want you to keep a closer eye on the tush push.
Okay.
Want to make sure that this play is going down correctly and be much more tight, their words, going forward.
Okay.
This is, you know, just more and more of getting closer and closer to them trying to ban this play.
Right.
And I think that it's okay. By now, you have heard every angle on this story, and you have heard everybody that you wanted to hear talk about it, including people that you don't want to hear talk about it. I have not heard anybody, or at least I have not heard anybody really go at verbatim about, you know, it's okay if you just don't want it around because it's bad football. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just boring football.
Right.
And it's not exciting. It's not interesting. This need, especially from us guys, to immediately go to, well, if you don't like it, stop it. Like, that's not... Look, man, that's not realistic.
Right.
Now, I do think that it is the case 9 out of 10 times. I do agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think that there are other times where it doesn't add up. Not everything is one size fits all.
Right.
That is not the case with this. Mm-hmm. Especially considering, I would agree with that if they were not cheating. And I do believe that Philly is. And I'm not saying that they're alone in this. I mean, anybody doing the tush push is darn near doing this.
A lot of teams have tried it. Yeah, you're right.
I just heard Jeff Saturday talking about it. Like, on the second hut, they're going.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even, they're not even waiting for the quarterback to get the ball.
Right.
They're already
jumping
the line.
They're starting to lean forward. Right, yeah.
Obviously, the offensive line has an edge over the defensive line, knowing when the ball is going to be snapped.
Right.
So they already have an edge there, yep. And now you're giving even more of a literal edge to them by being able on this play. Mm-hmm. I'm all for, hey, if you don't like the Wildcat, stop it.
Right.
If you don't like the run and gun offense, stop it. Mm-hmm. No different than if you don't like the wishbone option, stop it.
Right.
That's not, all of those plays were done legally.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a legal play. And it's not about it being, well, it technically is. Not the way they're doing it.
Right.
And honestly, not the way anybody's doing it. And I've watched the footage on this. I've seen a lot of people that are smarter than me talk about this. And I don't think that it's a good, it's just not a good play health-wise. It's not an exciting play. And I don't necessarily think that they should be able to get away with it. It brings where all of this comes down to, and I'll get more into this in a second, but what is one of the oldest phrases in all of football? It's a game of inches.
Right.
It's about the details.
Yes.
One small play, one mess up in the second quarter can ruin the whole game.
Which is basically every sport, by the way. But yes, it's true, yes.
So in a game of inches, you're telling me that this doesn't matter.
Right.
Literal inches that they're getting that other teams don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Or that at least teams that don't have this team. Now, I am 100% with the argument, hey, if you don't like it, stop it. Hey, if you want to do it, build your team up like Philly did.
Mm-hmm.
If I was building a team, I'd build it like Philly did. Mm-hmm. Offensive line first, defensive line second, quarterbacks, other positions, we'll get to that. I have no problem with the way they built this team. They built it with Giants.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. It's a smart move.
Yeah.
This play is not a smart move. I don't think they even need this play.
Yeah, they may not.
I don't think they do.
Right.
Jalen Hurts got Ricky Henderson legs. Mm-hmm. Like, that kid can, he's fine.
He doesn't even have to throw the ball anymore. And he's not. He's not throwing the ball.
They got Pro Bowl wide receivers.
And they're not getting the ball.
That are collecting dust.
Yes.
Like,
they're doing wind sprints is what they're doing, yeah.
It's not just that I think they need to call the play tighter. I think they need to call it right.
Yeah.
Like, and umpires can't, referees can't do that. A ref, the marker ref is down over here.
Right.
The line is a cave.
Right.
You can't see into.
Right. Right.
So how are they supposed to call this play fair? How are they supposed to call it legally?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to me any more than, I don't know, an owner being able to be a broadcaster. Now, tell me something with a straight face, everybody out there that is a Tom Brady fan and that is okay with Tom Brady being a partial owner of the Raiders and being a commentator. Two things that we have no proof that he's good at, by the way.
Right.
If Tom Brady was Tom Jones or Tom Smith or any other person, there is no way he'd get a second game, let alone a second year. He's horrible at this. He's not even good at the one thing we're asking for, inside information.
Right.
Half the things he's talking about aren't in the league. The plays, it's like when Romo was first becoming, and he could call plays, and like everybody was blown away.
Yeah.
And then in two seasons, that stopped because that's how the NFL works.
Right.
They don't know the same plays anymore.
Yep.
Tom Brady is already ancient in football. Mm-hmm. He might as well be talking about tech. He's 2 years out of the league. It's ancient. His information doesn't matter what it used to. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean as much as it used to. And he's not even giving you the good stuff. He's not even sharing half of that. Because in part, he's an owner of a team. So the idea of anybody getting away with this, and I don't care if it was Jim McMahon, I wouldn't be cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone this guy who has gotten escaped by how much stuff in his career.
Oh, dude, you were going right where I was going. It's like he gets away with literally everything.
Is it just because of the jaw? Is it just because, like, what do people like about this guy? Like, I don't understand it. I don't understand why they just let him get away with these
things. He was a good quarterback, maybe the best ever. Sure. But we can argue that all day long. It doesn't carry on over after you're done playing. Well, I don't get it. I don't get it. And it's honestly, to be fair to Tom Brady, this is what he wanted, man. He has worked his whole life to be a brand. And, well, he is now.
Yeah.
And it's certainly working for him. And he's making gajillion dollars, and he's buying teams and all this stuff, and he's getting special treatment because of it.
They're treating him like he's the face of the league still, like he's the only person that matters, like he's still playing or something. They're giving him everything he wants. And it doesn't make a darn bit of sense when the NFL has always been the opposite of that. Oh, you're a player and you want respect? Get down. Get down.
We're bend the knee, right?
Yeah, yep. Bend the knee to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Bend the knee to the shield.
Yep.
Any day now they're going to change the shield to Tom Brady's face.
Oh God!
And it's going to be interesting to see which face they choose, because I don't know. I mean, is it Michigan Tom Brady? Is it his first three seasons in New England, or is it this version, which doesn't look anything like the others?
Which is
with the shaved jawbone or
it's
whatever.
Like, whatever that. Yeah, it's weird, isn't
How
it?
How bad
yeah.
do you want a straight jaw that you're going to have? Like literally, they go in and shave off. Oh my God!
Don't even say that. That freaks me out.
I can't understand why the NFL, that is so powerful and is watched more than any other sport, an eagle eye watch. People are just begging and waiting for things to point at and point wrong. And they do these kind of things, whether it is allowing the tush-push illegally, mm-hmm. I mean.
Right,
not allowing the play, but the illegal way they're doing it.
Right.
Or Tom Brady just getting to basically be a dictator and do whatever he wants.
Why don't they just make him commissioner? I mean, seriously.
Yeah. I'm waiting for Goodell to literally bend the knee or take a sword out and, like, knight Tom Brady.
Sir Tom Brady.
And the other part of this to me that doesn't make a lot of sense is that he's not worth it. Like, he's not a good announcer. If he's going to get good at it, it shouldn't have to happen on our watch. Just because Fox made a mistake and give this guy $300 million and everything, we shouldn't have to pay for it.
No.
I'm so tired of hearing it. When he talks, I go away. I immediately flip. This guy has never had anything to say to me, let alone now.
Right.
And half the time, like on social media, he's got a team of social media people working for him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's, do you notice when he's talking, like in the game day stuff, and he's talking to the guys on the set and everything, he's got an earpiece in. He's got an earpiece in to be able to hear them. He's got another earpiece in for other people to give him information. I don't even know how much of this is actually Tom Brady talking.
Wow.
I don't know how much of it is actually him and not just somebody in his ear telling him what to say.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe we're wrong and AI has been perfected and it's... Tom Brady is the new AI. Oh, my God. He is.
I would like to be the first.
He looks different.
Welcome our AI overlords, because that's amazing. You're right. You might be right in that. Wow. Well done, AI.
Wow.
I
don't know who built him, but, man, it's really remarkable.
Good work.
But it also explains some of the weird glitches, too, you know.
Yes.
It's that uncanny valley where it doesn't seem like he's human kind of thing.
Yes.
We figured it out. That's what it is.
Watch how long he goes without blinking. I'm not even kidding. Seriously, watch how long he goes. I don't know if he can. I'm not sure if he can anymore.
Is that the way we tell if we're humans or not? Because they don't blink.
Yeah. it's a little ridiculous to me that he is walking the line here of being a partial owner and being a commentator and being in on these meetings and all that.
Yeah,
I get that. It's a line I'm not comfortable with.
Right.
It's not. And again, I come back to that definition, that phrase, that mantra. It's a game of inches. You're telling me that on one side, but then on this side, you're telling me the legal tush push or Tom Brady being a partial owner / commentator / I don't know, AI, monster. you're telling me in a game of inches, none of this matters.
Right.
That doesn't add up. That doesn't make sense, and I don't like being lied to as a fan.
No.
I don't think that a lot of these leagues or these rules would be that hard to swallow if they were just honest about it.
If they would be honest about it, if they would come clean about it, and honestly, I am getting tired of hearing the talk about the tush push, especially. You know, for a while there, I was just like, yeah, whatever, you know, it is what it is. But now it's become a thing. I am totally on board with you, it being bad football. It's boring.
It's boring.
The Philadelphia Eagles are probably one of the best teams in the NFC still, and they're the most boring team in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
Who wants to watch that, man?
The only way to really beat them is to build a lead against them to where they can't just run the ball and suck up the clock.
They actually have to throw the ball.
Yeah. You got to get a double point lead on them. And I'm saying this to not only Packer fans but to anybody in that organization.
Yeah, right.
That's the way you're going to beat them. You stomp on them. You right. step on their throat and you do what you don't even give them a chance to get into that kind of play, that style of play or anything. You have to. Mm-hmm. It is the only way to stop that team.
Yep.
As long as the NFL is going to let them do
right,
this.
Right, exactly.
And honestly, if I ran a NFL franchise, Tom Brady's not coming into my house. Not coming into my house. I don't care if Fox has our game or not. I don't care. I'll take the fine. What are they going to fine me? I'm a billionaire. What do I care? Right. Go ahead and fine me. I got more money than Tom Brady even. You know, I'm a billionaire.
As rich as he is, that's true.
We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, wrap up the show talking local sports and maybe a little track and field if I can sneak it
Ooh.
In. I'm trying to. We'll see.
All sports.
Coming up on the Playmakers.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. WAM Inc. for the hero in you.
Are you looking for ways to give back to your local community? Use VolunteerWisconsin.org to find opportunities to volunteer your time with organizations making a difference near you. As we celebrate United Ways Month, we're also celebrating you. Visit VolunteerWisconsin.org or get in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center to find out more about local opportunities to get involved. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
This September, you'll enjoy riding in style in your brand new Buick Envista. It's Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa's Win Your Wheels giveaway. Earn entries now, and on September 27th, you can have a chance to win a Buick Envista. Also, there will be multiple winners of rewards play and cash prizes of up to $1,000. Plus, at 8 p.m., enjoy free live music by the Breakfast Club. And on Sunday, spin the Sunny Money Wheel for a chance to win up to $500 in cash. Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, your place to play. See Ho-Chunk Gaming representative for more details.
Let's get one thing straight. Nothing compares to Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Big wins, fun promos, real cash. No one in the area does it like we do. Every night feels like a weekend. Grab your friends, your family, whoever brings the fun, and fuel up with your favorite meals, sip on something new, and hit the floor. Live music, endless chances to win, and games that light up the night. Ready to turn an ordinary night into something unforgettable? Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, your place to play.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight, upper 50s. High tomorrow in the low 70s. Partly sunny Sunday, maybe a stray shower. High mid-70s. Drier and pleasant weather into much of next week. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at 105.5 WIRI. Hope you're having a great Friday out there. Going to take you to the top of the hour. Laura got some great music lined up for you, and of course, that'll lead you into some amazing high school football going on tonight.
That's
Abbotsford at Assumption, 6:50. Our pregame kicks off. Mike, Randy, Seth going to be bringing this to you. You know it's going to sound good with that tag team. They are the tag team champions, by the way. I don't know if anybody knows that.
Oh, really? Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you guys. I thought you guys won that a couple of years ago. Be sure to check that out tonight. It's going to be a fun one. Looking forward to it. Certainly had a fun volleyball game the other night. I know not as fun for maybe our Assumption listeners out there, but nice victory for Port.
For Port Edwards, yeah. It's always fun when they play against each other in town here. I always really enjoy those games.
It never gets old. No. Never. I love those. A quick reminder, everybody, that on our brother station, 97.5 FM WFHR, 1320 WFHR, Badgers taking on hosting Maryland tomorrow, 9 a.m. start time for that one.
Yep.
And not so much a must win, but a must dominate, I would think. For those who don't know, the Wisconsin Badgers on this game in particular have a lot of like big names recruits. They're going to be in Madtown.
Okay.
So that you want to have a nice victory because of that. And while I don't know that you've seen a lot of the recruiting classes you've been seeing with Fickell. Like, you've got a lot of four stars. You've got a lot of talent out there. They just need to get the, connect the dots and all that.
Make them a team. Yeah.
Maryland is a good team. They're known pushover. They got a nice quarterback over there, but they're a team that you should win. You should beat, and you should beat by at least two touchdowns or two scores at least, I think. So that should be a good game. We'll have that for you on WFHR 97.5 FM. And next week, we got more great high school sports for you. Next Thursday, 6:50, Spash at Lincoln Boys Soccer.
Yeah, our first boys soccer game of the year, or actually of ever, maybe. I don't know if we've ever done it before. So very excited to do that. Mike Comer once again on the call on that one. 6:50 pregame, the kickoff. Is it kickoff for soccer? I don't know. What do they call when they start the game? I guess I don't know.
I know this, and I can't think of it. Darn it.
I'll have to look it up or something.
I'll learn it before the World Cup.
There we go.
I'll learn it before the World Cup.
As well you should.
Yeah,
yes.
A lot of us are going to brush up on our soccer lingo before the before like a week, before like we're doing our homework on Sunday night, like right before the World Cup starts.
Gotta get it done.
What do they call it when it's offside?
Yeah.
Also, next Friday, a week from now, Marshfield at Lincoln. Mike and Randy and Don going to have that one for you. Oh, it's good to see
Don's jumping
name
in for what Mike calls the battle for Wood County. Yes, it is. So it's always a big game.
Yeah. That is going to be a great one. I'm so happy that we have that one for you. And really happy to see Don's name on there. Shout out to Don. We appreciate it.
Big
you,
old
man.
Thank you to Don. Very much so. Yeah. Thank you, Don.
Mm-hmm. A lot of other great action coming up over the weeks ahead. And as we get closer into deeper into fall and, of course, into winter, we are your home for Central Wisconsin High School sports.
We got basketball. We got wrestling. We got, oh my gosh, so much good stuff. Hockey too.
Looking forward to the call tonight. Mike and Randy, have a great time tonight. Enjoy. We'll be listening. And you have a good game calling it. We're heading the board here.
Sit back, relax, and let them do their job. That's what I do.
I mentioned the World Cup, and honestly, what pops in my head is the Olympics. I am an Olympic junkie. I love the Olympics. And I love track and field. And for those that missed it, literally the other day, one of our greater track and field our athletes, Sydney McLaughlin Leverone, was the first woman to break 48 seconds in the 400 meter, running a 47.78 at the World Athletic Championships in Tokyo.
Wow!
Literally yesterday.
Wow!
I encourage you to go find it on YouTube. It's an awesome race. And not just her, but a couple of the other competitors in there. That they are just insane. To the point of, she wasn't the only one to break the 48 second, or she just had the best race.
Wow!
That's
so cool. I love it when that happens.
So a lot of great racers in track and field right now, and including Noah Lyles. Noah Lyles on the men's side for the American team tops in the 200. Jefferson Wooden got a historic sweep as well.
Okay.
Just nice seeing track and field being represented so well in America again, and seeing some of these people doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Very cool. Yeah.
College football schedule. Just taking a quick dive at that. Not a ton of games out there. Nebraska, Michigan could be quite interesting.
Okay.
Many people wondering, if Nebraska is going to be good ever again.
They say every year they're going to be good, and then they're not. I'm getting a little suspicious here.
Yeah.
Really.
But also to that point, whether or not they're going to be able to be competitive again in this game in particular, I think a lot of people are just wondering, hey, what's going to happen there? Mm-hmm. You've got a Texas Texas Tech and Utah playing tomorrow. That could be a good one right there. Oklahoma and Auburn. Should be a great game.
That should be a good one.
Oklahoma looks like they could be for real.
They had a pretty good game against Michigan last week.
Got themselves a quarterback. Yep. I texted Michael right away. I'm like, you got a quarterback, man.
Yeah, that's right.
You got a quarterback. And Auburn's sneaky. They always are. They always are.
You can't count them out, in other words. Yeah.
No. Auburn could be 0-8, and I still wouldn't take them lightly.
Right.
I am curious about that. Purdue and Michigan and Notre Dame. Now, Notre Dame should have Purdue handedly, but that's a battle in Indiana. And if Notre Dame were to go 0-3, and I do not think that they will, but if they were to go 0-3, boy, that is going to be interesting.
Celebrating in the Bay Loft House.
Yeah, there would be, I'll be honest.
Well, especially if Purdue does it. I mean, come on.
If I'm being honest, the two games that I'm really locked in on, outside of course, the Wisconsin game and seeing how that plays, Florida at Miami.
That's always a good one.
Number 4 ranked Miami. And Illinois versus Indiana in the battle of style. the battle of basically, you know, you've got the nice tailored suit against overalls. and the overalls are Illinois, and the suit is Indiana. You've got two very different styles of play, and I hope I get to see that game. I hope I get to watch some of that. It looks like it's on NBC.
I don't care what anyone says. The legacy matchups of the Big Ten are still going to be the best. I don't care. USC, whatever. They can play in there, but these are the games that I'm more interested in.
And not to say Big Ten teams aren't guilty of this to a degree, but I mean, LSU's playing Southeastern Louisiana.
Southeastern Louisiana.
Yeah, I would love to see Brian. Hey, oh my God, I'd
South Florida see. Doing some stuff. I'm not saying.
I do have one thing I wanted to say there. Last week, I believe I said that Brian Kelly is the whiniest coach I've ever seen. Dabo Sweeney's getting into that running. Yes. Dabo's getting up there. These guys that are supposed to help raise young men to be great, old men and all this.
Is that what they're supposed to be doing?
Like babies.
Right.
They act
I know.
Like babies. It's wild.
It's because they got too much. It's the money, man. Money does it to you.
Yeah. A great show today, man.
You too.
Thanks, everybody. Stick around. Great music on the way for you. Have a good weekend.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Hello and welcome to Laura's Lounge on 105.5 FM WIRI. My name is Laura and I'm happy to be here with you on this Friday evening because we made it. It's the end of the week. Why not celebrate with a little bit of Blake Shelton?
Sometimes I'm the guy with the boys kicking it back. Or the guy with a guitar singing on a country track.